pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Failure. Kind of an ugly sounding word, isn't it? It's a word whose meaning and implication can haunt us. We're taught from an early age that it is unacceptable, and our society perpetuates that notion. To fail implies being inadequate, even unworthy. The difference between success being successful and failing may have become, for many of us, the difference between being loved and not being loved. It would seem to indicate that we just didn't try hard enough or just didn't have what it takes. Following his years as Prime Minister of Great Britain during the dark days of World War II, Winston Churchill was invited to speak at his boyhood grammar school from which he had graduated some 70 years before. And as he stood at the lectern, looking out at his young audience, he said, "Young men," it was a boys' school, "young men, never give up. Never give up. Never, never, never." And with that, he sat down. His message was shockingly brief, yet in this succinct message, the man who had led England through the worst of times was stating the philosophy of perseverance that had led to victory. But what we also need to remember about Churchill is that he failed to win re-election as prime minister after the war. I mean, can you imagine that? After all that he had done to preserve England at a time when it should have fallen, Churchill failed re-election. But he persevered and is remembered as one of the greats of history. He persevered. That's a great word, perseverance. It is a characteristic that we're taught to admire and apply to our lives. But if we apply it to every situation we may encounter in life and in ministry, how far should we go with it when we encounter resistance? I read a story about a pro golfer on the LPGA tour who finished last in the Shawnee Invitational in Pennsylvania quite a few years back. Seems that when she teed off on the 16th hole, her drive went for a swim in the river, kind of like mine do. Then she did something that was kind of interesting. She actually set out in a rowboat to play the ball. And when she finally succeeded in stroking it out of the water, it landed in some dense woods. From there, she drove the ball into the rough, then into a sand trap, then back into the rough. 2 hours later, she finally arrived on the green, having taken 166 strokes on a par 4 hole. That woman had perseverance, all right, but in this case, was perseverance a virtue? At the other extreme, we have a character, W.C. Fields, who once said, quote, "If at first you don't succeed, then quit. There's no use in being a fool about it," end of quote. Well, where's the virtue in that? Giving up after just one try. I'm thinking that maybe the reality and the lesson for us is found maybe somewhere between these two attitudes. Now, let me try to explain. In the passage we're looking at from the Gospel of Mark, there are actually some useful lessons to be learned about trying and failing that we can apply to our lives and our ministry. One of the lessons we can learn from this text is to accept the fact that sometimes we're just simply going to fail. But most people understand failure to be unacceptable. Failure is hard to live with when it happens, isn't it? I mean, it's embarrassing. So, do you see failure depicted in the gospel text this morning? So when Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth, he stood up to teach in the synagogue. But the townspeople were offended that this person who had grown up among them should presume to teach them anything. "Isn't this the carpenter?" they said. "Don't we know his family? What does he know about anything?" Did you get that? Jesus failed. He tried to bring his hometown the good news of salvation, but he failed to get them to listen. In this particular example, it was overfamiliarity with Jesus and his background that made the hometown folks contemptuous. We read that Jesus could do no noticeable deeds of power there because of their unbelief. It was a noble effort, but even Jesus experienced resistance and even failure. We have to make peace with the possibility of failure when we try something new. Because the fact of the matter is, there are times when we're going to meet up with it. There it is. I like the answer that Harry Truman gave when a reporter asked him once if he were afraid of making mistakes. And he answered, "No, if I were, I could never make a decision." I used to tell the Marines under my command that if they didn't make a mistake once in a while in the process of trying to become better Marines, they weren't pushing the envelope. I also told them not to make the same mistake twice, but that they did not have to fear failing if they were trying their best and being smart about the risks. Same holds true right here in this congregation's ministry. For example, I experience failure on a regular basis around here. I proposed a lot of different ideas, some of which have worked well, some of which have fallen flat on their face. But I was willing to take calculated chances in order to have at least some of them work. Remember what the hockey great Wayne Gretzky said? He said, "You miss every shot you don't take." We have to accept the possibility that we may fail from time to time, and also learn to accept the grace of God that makes it possible to go on. A second lesson we might take from this text is that our failure is not always our responsibility or fault. Go back to our gospel text here for a second. Jesus called his disciples together and sent them out two by two to extend his ministry. But he told them right up front that they might not be accepted. In other words, they might fail. "If they refuse to hear you," he told them, "then shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." What might we understand Jesus to be saying is that those who are his disciples, like us, are to do the best they can to extend his ministry, but that it is not always in our power to succeed. One more time, and I really want us to hear this. Those who are his disciples, like you and me, are to do the best they can to extend his ministry, but it is not always in our power to succeed. There's a story about a woman with deep psychological issues who began attending worship in a particular church, and the pastor and the congregation determined to love her into health and happiness. All their attempts met with failure. When the woman was finally ordered to be institutionalized, many members of the congregation sent cards to let her know that she was being remembered and prayed for. The woman sent back the cards with criticisms and rejections written on them. When one member of the congregation was asked what she would do next, she responded, "The only truly loving thing there is to do. I'll continue praying for her, but I'm also going to accept her rejection of me." Our actions might fail from time to time, even when we're sincerely trying to do what we think is what God is calling us to do. But that does not mean that we are failures. Again, success is not always in our hands. Third lesson we might learn from this passage is that when we experience failure, we are to try something else. Jesus told his disciples that when they experienced failure in one place, they were to leave, not give up, just try things from a different angle. Sometimes the best thing we can do is to move on to another field. Paul Harvey told a great story once about a guy named Joe who was born into a family of Sicilian immigrants, a family who had a 300-year history as fishermen. Joe's dad was a fisherman. His brothers were fishermen. But Joe got sick at the smell of raw fish and the motion of a rocking boat. Well, in a family where the only acceptable way to earn a living was by fishing, Joe was a failure. His dad used to refer to his son as good for nothing. And Joe believed his dad. He believed that his attempts at other types of work were an admission of failure. But he just couldn't stand the smell of the fishing business. But Joe discovered that he was good at one thing in particular, sports. One thing that Joe could do well was play baseball. Giving up a field where he could not succeed, Joe DiMaggio moved to another field and became one of the greatest players in the history of baseball. Sometimes the best thing we can do is to learn from our failures, not ignore them or be in denial about them, but to try a different approach from the one we've been following. Thomas Edison claimed that he probably had more failures than anyone he ever knew. Yet we don't remember him as a failure, do we? He patented over 1,000 inventions in his lifetime. That would lead one to believe that he couldn't have had too many failures. The truth is that he openly admitted he failed quite frequently, but he didn't look on them as failures. When something didn't work, he would say, "Now we know one more thing that doesn't work. We're that much closer to finding that one that does work." I love that attitude. Jesus failed to turn his own hometown to his understanding of God and God's place in our lives. His enemies seized him and killed him. And if there was ever an apparent symbol of failure, it was the cross. I mean, what would you think if you were standing there looking at Jesus dead on a cross? Well, at the time, most observers, including his closest followers, thought of his failure. But God was able to use even Jesus' apparent failure, his crucifixion, as a way to capture our attention and to teach us reliance on God's grace. If God could use such an apparent failure to accomplish God's purposes, what might God yet do in those areas where we have failed or will fail, to turn them into a success we might not have even thought possible? What all of this says to me is that failure is a part of life, but that God can redeem even failure and work it into the pattern that God is weaving. That is, when we aren't allowing our own egos and sensitivities to get in the way. In our daily lives, in our ministry, inside and outside these walls, let's dare to take some chances. After we pray about them, certainly, and maybe talk with other people we trust. We've been saying all along that if you try one ministry and it doesn't work out, try something else. I've heard this particular statement many, many times. "I'd like to try such and such a ministry, but I'm afraid I'd mess it up." What I hear is in this statement is, "I don't want to embarrass myself in case I fail." And that's the ego thing that we're talking about. That's pride. And that is the devil's favorite sin. Think it out carefully. Talk about it with others. Pray about it. And even if it looks like it might succeed and you feel it would be beneficial, try it. If it flops, okay, try something else or come at it from a different direction. This is a safe place to do that. And if and when it flies, then it's all for the glory of God. So even Jesus failed. At least he apparently failed. But there was a purpose behind it. Among other things, it's so that we might learn about how to deal with failures in our lives and in our ministry. To trust God's guidance and persevere, because it's likely God is redirecting our efforts toward what God would have us do. Not everything we try is God's will for our lives. And when we're shown that we're not going in the direction God would have us go, let's look at it as being God's guidance and grace and never as punishment. So thanks be to God for this lesson about how to deal with failure in a way that pleases God and continues us in God's purpose for our lives. With God's help, may we become bolder in our ministry and less driven by the fear of failure. Amen.